You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Is it all just starting to pass John Calipari by? It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. It is day two of the round of 64 of the NCAA tournament, Joseph Fortenbaugh. And boy, we needed to get to day two, didn't we?
We did. Day one's in the books. Day one's in the books. I had five survivor entries. We're at day two. I have zero survivor entries. More on that. Never. Not updating any of that. Thank you, BYU. Thank you, Texas Tech. Brackets, I guess, intact. I didn't have Kentucky going deep, but nothing special there. Betting, not good. But that day's in the past. That day is dead to me. Today is a new day. Today is a great day.
It's in the rear view, and we move on.
Day betting alert. Day betting alert.
Joseph. We have day betting. We have games in not less than 15 minutes from now. How about that?
They're getting loose. Handman got all the TV set up in here. Some are on basketball. Some are on Charmed. I got a Friends rerun. I had some Prices Right. There's a lot going on. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Day betting alert. 14 minutes from now, we're going to play Northwestern plus the points. Northwestern plus 4.5 over Florida Atlantic. I think Florida Atlantic a little overvalued here because last year they were in the Final Four. And because of that, you got a lot of people who remember it and want to bet them. And as a result, you're seeing the price inflated. Last year, they were 31-3 entering the dance, 34th in the country in defensive efficiency. This year entering the dance, 25-8, 106th in defensive efficiency. Still good, not nearly as elite. I think the point spread should be right around a pick 'em or one. We're getting 4.5. FAU, three-point defense, lousy. Northwestern can knock down some three-pointers. So it's our first day betting alert of the day. It's an official pizza money selection as well. Northwestern plus 4.5 over Florida Atlantic. Let's go.
And if you don't mind, I'm going to semi-piggyback that with a little prop of my own.
I want to hear everybody's action. Yes. I want, if Evan's got action, if Handman's got action, I want everyone's action.
A little bit along those lines, Joseph. I am going to ride Boo Booey over 20.5 points. If you're unfamiliar with Boo Booey, he is one of the most underrated guards in the country. Plays for Northwestern. Has been there, I believe, since 1987. But he is a tremendous scorer, and he does a lot of the good things well. And for all the reasons you just pointed out, that Florida Atlantic team defensively, nothing special. They score, but defensively, nothing special. I am going to go over in the game and over 20.5 for Boo Booey.
Let's go. Let's All go. Right. I like it. Anyone in the back have anything they want to add in? Don't feel compelled. We're not going to force the action. You can jump in later if you got it. Okay. Hey man,
I already had this Boo Booey in my own thoughts, so I'm just emboldened by Carlin's thoughts.
I see Carlin getting ready to pull the ripcord.
Oh boy, when I'm emboldening, that's trouble. That's trouble.
Hey man's like, I've been all over that Boo Booey bet. Me and Carlin are going to cash today. All right, you're on. Hey, Evan,
518
anything?
Guy, by the way. 518 guy from around Albany, so beautiful. I've been following him for a while.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful.
My game is actually the last game of the day. I love James Madison on the money line. You don't get 30-win teams this time of year from the mid-majors that often, so I like James Madison on the money line to upset Wisconsin.
We're dumping action all day. Let's dump action all day. Let's go.
I love it. I love it. We start with last night, though, as far as the show's concerned, Joseph, and Oakland taking out Kentucky yesterday afternoon, early game last night. That's what it was. And look, I look at a lot of what's going on here, and college basketball is changing. But before we're ready to just absolutely destroy Calipari, let's look at a couple of things from the game last night. Kentucky played about as poorly as you can play. And when you have a team that goes 15 of 31 from three, as Oakland did, and Kentucky only gave up 15 threes in a game one other time all season, and it was in November, and you're the best three-point shooting team in the country in Kentucky, and you go 9 for 28, That's how you lose a game like that.
Yep.
So just staying in the micro for a moment before we get to that, let's all not overreact to what happened there. I get everything that has happened. That's kind of a fluky situation.
If these are seven-game series like in the NBA, Kentucky most likely is winning 4 of 7. But with the madness, it's a one-game scenario. One team can get white hot. One team can go ice cold. That's how this works. It's why we call it madness instead of a series. A series, the cream should rise to the top. It's a large enough sample size. This is a small 40-minute sample, and Oakland played to their level last night. Congratulations to them. For Kentucky, you're right, they didn't play particularly great, but some would argue maybe they were not prepared to play all that great. If you're going to be that dependent on the three-pointer, you better knock them down.
And that's where we are, and that's why there's so much outrage around Cal. And I couldn't believe it last night as I'm reading on Twitter, people talking about, or X, excuse me, people talking about John Calipari and why he needs to go. He's got a $33 million buyout at Kentucky right now, by the way. I don't think he's going anywhere. But Cal was certainly reflective after the game and trying to maybe figure out if there are some things he needs to change.
I'll look at other ways that we can do stuff. But, you know, there's this thing here. It's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles and all this stuff, win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement.
But basically indicated that when it comes to changing his entire recruiting philosophy, which as we know has been the high level, five star, one and done type guys, it doesn't sound like that's going to change anytime soon with Cal. Joe, I understand the thought process that maybe he has to adapt, but I don't think he has to change altogether when he still brings in that level of talent.
Let's be honest, he's one of the guys that was at the forefront of this movement. It's not as if he stumbled into it. He's one of the guys out there that is going to sell you on the NBA dream. That is how he gets the best talent to Kentucky. He's not selling you on a national championship. He's not selling you on a Final Four. He's selling you on money. He is sitting you down and saying, you want to go pro. He knows exactly what these kids want. The dream isn't to go play college basketball for 4 years at Kentucky and get a degree. The dream is to get through college as fast as possible so you can get to the NBA and start printing money. That's the dream. He knows how to sell that dream. He sits you down. He tells you flat out, look at how many guys I've sent to the NBA. And he just lists off the names. And it is an impressive list of guys that are printing cash right now. That's how he gets you to Kentucky. The plan isn't a long-term plan. It is to get you there. He is one of the guys, one of the godfathers of this entire plan. So no, I don't think he needs to change at all because he's still getting the best recruits. But if he's trying to win titles, if that's the plan, yeah, you're going to need to do something different because you're stacking the roster with guys who don't want to be there 3 and 4 years. They want to leave because you sold them that dream.
You also have to find those guys who have been developed, though. In other words, you need to sprinkle in, as he kind of alluded to, some of the guys who are transfers. Some of the guys who maybe have been at a mid-major, and you can offer them some hefty NIL money, and those guys who may be high-level college players, bring those in to try to win his championships with that group. Now, I have to tell you, I heard a lot of this from Seth Greenberg this morning, and I thought this was some pretty tough analysis from Seth about where Calipari is at this point.
I think the guys that really know him have seen a change in him, a kinder, gentler Cal in terms of how their teams play, more offensive-oriented Cal. Although, you know, like when he said, like, you know, we knew the zone was going to give us a problem. I cannot believe he said that. But the perception of Cal is he's a terrific coach, but that he's always been ahead of the curve in terms of marketing, recruiting, NIL, and everything else. But he's lost a little bit of his edge in terms of living it 24/7. John Calipari's got to go back to old school John Calipari, not swaggy Cal, old school Cal, where his teams were tough, physical, played with a chip, competed at a very high level, drew a line in the sand every play, and it was a team you did not want to play against. Right? That's who he needs to be, because last night they got punked.
This is not a shot at Seth.
That's a great quote.
It is. It is a great quote. This is not a shot at Seth at all. But Seth has not had to recruit in this environment. Seth has not had to recruit in 10 or 11 or 12 years at this point. Finding those hard-nosed guys and coaching guys that hard, a lot easier said than done right now, Joe. A lot easier said than done.
I mean, on one hand, if we were talking about getting beat by UConn in the Final Four, saying, I don't know if Cal will ever get it done again, that's one thing. It's Oakland. Yeah. And I don't want to disrespect them, but you shouldn't lose these games ever.
No.
And when it happens as a fluke to St. Peter's a couple years ago, okay, we can chalk it up as a fluke. It happened again, man. Like, this guy, he's James Franklin at this point. Like, he's James Franklin. Great recruiter, lots of talent, doesn't win big games. Kentucky's still a big brand. Everyone pays attention to him. They still print money. They're still a blue blood. They're still one of the preeminent institutions in college basketball, and he has maintained that. But when we're talking about actual legitimate title championship contending programs, this is not one. First round exit this year, second round exit last year, first round exit the year before that. Then there was no tournament whatsoever. Then there was COVID. Then there was the Elite Eight. First 3 years at Kentucky, Elite Eight, Final Four champion. Last three, first round exit, second round exit, first round exit. He's comfortable. He's got a ton of money. His legacy is secure. Team's not tough. It's a finesse team. He's got great players. He doesn't have great teams. His job as a coach is to take great players and turn them into a great team. He is unable to do that.
The problem, though, with that is it's a lot more difficult to do that now than it used to be. Getting guys to listen now when they can move about so easily is a lot more difficult. Like, if they don't like what they hear now, Joe, it's I can pick up and leave at the drop of a hat.
But they're all dealing with that. It's not unique to Cal. It's literally every single coach in college basketball.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are just getting started. We've got another day and another surprising piece of information in the Shohei Ohtani investigation. Yeah, that's next. It's ESPN Radio, Carlin versus Joe. You can also catch us on Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We'll be right back.
Representatives of Shohei Ohtani are asking law enforcement to investigate what they're calling a massive theft of money from Ohtani.
After the meeting concludes, another interpreter is brought in. Ohtani, this is when he learned that there were any bank transfers and when he discovered that money was missing in his bank account.
Your sport is going to get national recognition because of this team and namely because of this player. And then he's involved in a scandal, and not only a scandal, a gambling scandal. This is literally Rob Manfred's worst nightmare.
I mean, it's not going away anytime soon. It certainly doesn't feel like it is. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. You heard a little bit of the news in there, and this came out, what, late last night, somewhat today too, Joe. According to Tisha Thompson, who we heard from yesterday, she is ESPN's investigative reporter who has been all over this thing, basically breaking the stories. Representatives for Shohei Ohtani have contacted law enforcement authorities and asked them to investigate the massive theft of money initially reported on Wednesday. The league has not been contacted by federal authorities, and MLB's next step would be to gather facts, which could take time in light of an ongoing federal investigation with that bookmaker in California. So that's the very latest on where we are. By the way, the IRS also getting involved there. Shocking.
That's not really who you want to mess with. I'm just going to throw that out there.
No, it is not.
Not exactly the hottest of takes, but once you hear they're getting involved, yeah, that's problematic. They have some really good accountants.
Joe, I it's funny. I've been thinking about this a lot over the last 24 hours.
Tax evasion?
No.
Oh.
Although I'm having a son of a gun with my taxes this year, but that's a whole nother thing.
You said you hire someone.
I do. I'm just trying to get documents, and that's like trying to get blood from a stone right now. That aside, Joe, I make it sound like I hire somebody. It's an accountant. Who doesn't have an accountant? We're not all TurboTax, okay?
Sometimes do my own. I sit down, I get the calculator out, and I handle business.
And I don't do any math any good, so I'm going to end up in jail if I do it myself.
Grammar, a bit of an issue too, I see.
It always has been. English degree, just want to remind you. Degree in English from Hobart College, yes. Joe, I think back to Tom Brady, the biggest star in the sport. He goes through Deflategate, right? You have the Wells report around that. And after months, you finally get the results of the Wells report. And there was not anything conclusive, if you remember, but the actual outcome of the Wells report suggested in multiple instances that it was more probable than not. That was the exact quote. More probable than not that Tom Brady knew about what was going on. And remember, Tom was as defiant as could be about the whole thing. Would MLB, in a similar circumstance, really suspend their biggest star if, let's just say, there's not direct evidence that he was gambling or anything was really locked in on that front, that he was doing anything really wrong, or if it just looks like he did, would they do anything about it?
Mm.
What do you think?
I think it all comes down to precedent. Because what's going to happen here is if Manfred wants to sit back and say, all right, he's our biggest star. He is a worldwide star. This is going to look awful for the game if he's suspended. We don't have enough evidence where we need to go ahead and drop the hammer. There's a lot of gray area here. We're going to blame it on the interpreter. I'd like to let it go. Okay, I could understand that. The problem is when you have the next issue with a player and the next issue and the next issue and the next issue and you fall in the gray areas with those individuals, they're going to expect the same treatment because precedent has been set. So that's why the lawyers are always involved. The lawyers have to say to themselves, if you make this decision, what does it mean for everyone else down the line? So yeah, I would imagine something's coming for Ohtani because I see that we're trying to play the, I don't speak English and there may have been some misinterpretations here, which obviously could be something lost in translation. I understand all that. And there's also this whole, you probably want the interpreter to just be the fall guy. On a side note, problem for the interpreter. Normally the fall guy gets some money. You already got the $4.5 million. So I don't know if there's anything else coming your way. Right. But yeah. That again is a perhaps a bridge too far. I do not see how he is going to have no punishment whatsoever because there's already enough out there that stinks. Let's be honest.
Well, here's Jeff Passan yesterday, MLB insider at ESPN, as we know, on the Pat McAfee show. about what happens here with MLB and their desire to potentially make this go away.
There's a lot of like, yeah, of course the league is going to sweep this under the rug. That's what they do. It's in their best benefit to do so. There's one issue with that. The FBI is not going to sweep this under the rug. Like when federal authorities are involved in looking at a crime, they're not looking at this like Shohei Ohtani because he's the best baseball player on earth warrants preferential treatment. They're looking at this like there were crimes that were committed. And our duty is to figure out who, in committing these alleged crimes, was involved and what their parts were. And so I think ultimately the story will come out and we will get a full accounting of what happened here.
And I understand where Jeff's coming from because it is a federal investigation. I do have trouble believing that if Ohtani... Again, we're speculating here.
Wild speculation.
If this comes out later that somehow Ohtani was the one who was gambling, but or it looked more probable than not, as I suggested earlier, that this was actually Ohtani, baseball is going to have a hard time if Ohtani approaches it the same way everybody else in these kind of situations has, which has always been deny. Until the very end. Like, if you keep pushing it and you make baseball keep pushing it, like, that's where it gets dicey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because something has to give.
Right.
Something ultimately had to give. Brady and the NFL made so much noise with that thing. Something had to happen. We were all demanding an outcome. Here, you want this to go away as quietly as possible, and then you want to adjudicate it when no one's paying attention. Late Friday night, Shohei Ohtani, 1 week suspension. We come in Monday. Is it really still the lead after 48 hours? We mentioned it. We all move on, and baseball's feeling pretty good about the situation. The thing that's going to happen here is one way or another, I think he's headed for something. You can't wire money to a bookie.
Yes.
That right there is a crime. Like, we already have a crime, the wiring of $4.5 million to a bookie. Now they're going to say, well, no, Ohtani didn't do it. It was the interpreter. Okay. On one hand, how did the interpreter get access to all those accounts? He's not a financial advisor. And on the other hand, the interpreter already said Ohtani wired it for him as a favor. So like something's coming down there, right there. Someone's got to pay for that because that's already been admitted. That's already happened.
Yes. And there's a quite literal paper trail to it.
It's very
Ohtani's
obvious.
Ohtani's name is on it that says he transferred it.
And you can't just log on to someone else's account and wire $4.5 million to another person without someone reaching out to be like, hey, this is Dave, your friendly neighborhood banker. Just wanted to check in to make sure this $4.5 million that's heading from point A to point B, just wanted to check in, make sure this is you and everything's going good. We want to facilitate. We want to be here for you. If nothing else, they want to help you with that stuff. You're not going to be able to slide a $4.5 million wire transfer underneath everyone's noses. Like, there's going to be verification process there.
So security is going to be a little bit more than click every box with a traffic light.
Right.
In it.
Like, let me know where you see ladders. And it's like, I got them. 8 of 9 have a ladder. And then it pops up again. Now you got to do it again. What are we doing here? This is the best we have for confirmation. Ohtani, that's not how that works.
Two things I want to leave on this. Number one, let's not forget one thing. This is the biggest rule that baseball has, period. And has always had. And it is up on the wall in every clubhouse. Right? Number two, I talked to somebody about a year after the whole Brady thing was over that was very high up in the NFL. And I posed this question. If Brady, at his first news conference where he denied everything, had just come out, Joe, and said, you know what, guys? Our equipment guys know that when the weather's bad, I like that football to be at the lowest legal limit. And if it was below that, that's on me. That's my bad. I screwed that up. I completely apologize. He would have gotten a $25,000 fine. It would have been over.
Wow.
That would have been it. Would have been gone.
Quick follow-up here. Who do you possibly know that is that high up at the NFL?
Listen, you, trust me.
I can't imagine that.
You don't know who I know, and I know. That's all I'm going to say. Your boy has some connections that you'd be surprised at. I don't want to pat myself on the back. I don't want to make myself to be out more than I actually am.
Here we go, Long Beach State Athletic Director.
Trust me when I tell you I know. And listen, If I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but if that's the truth, well, so be it. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Has college basketball once again passed by another legendary coach? Carlin versus Joe is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits, go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. We have it all coming up with one of our experts after Joe has this from our friends at Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have both the knowledge and experience to answer all your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people even safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Is there a chance that last night was John Calipari's last game at Kentucky?
He's got to restructure his roster. You can't just leave a guy with freshmen. You've got to have older players.
There's a large segment of the Kentucky fan base that has not been happy with his recent performances.
What is the job of John Calipari? To produce NBA players or to produce titles for Kentucky?
It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25.
This is the worst five-game tournament stretch that the program has ever had. Big Blue Nation ain't going to stand for that much longer.
Yeah, we'll get to Cal in a sec. 12 minutes to go, first half, or 11 and a half. 8-6 Florida Atlantic. I had the over at 143. A little help!
Yeah.
And not only that, Boo Booey's out here getting mugged, Joe, and I can't get a call.
It's tough. We're not good with these openers, but this one is not done yet. Everyone stay patient, all right? Yesterday was not good. I'm not going to watch everyone tear each other to shreds 6 minutes into the opening game. It's a long day today. Everyone stay calm.
It is a long day. One thing we are going to do later, with the game that starts at 2 o'clock today, Eastern time.
Oh, this is
going
to be fun.
This is Western Kentucky and Marquette. It's a 15-2 game. And we are going to play Western Kentucky on the 1st to 15. And we will do that live on the air.
Live on the air.
All right.
Do not expect structured radio content in that segment or perhaps any of the other segments that will be happening today.
And with that, we welcome in Dallin Cuff.
Yeah.
Yes, ESPN college basketball analyst. Dallin, I don't want to say that Joe is absolutely destroying you on Mississippi State, but I mean, if I didn't do that, I would be absolutely ignoring the truth.
Now, you see, that right there is not what we plan to open this with, and that is...
Can I talk, though?
I didn't actually name you. I said
it's fair. It's a terrible play.
Well, no, it's not the play. It's every time I pick North Carolina, everyone kept telling me, you got to watch out for Mississippi State the next round.
I know.
But I used the straw man argument. I said everyone was telling me. And then off air, I was like, Dallin's been all over me about it. So now he brings it on air.
Well, we can bring it on air. Hey, real quick, this is my inaugural time on the show. I mean, I know Sean Farnham, but fellas, I'm glad to be on with you.
Thank you.
And good to be here. Let's start with
that.
Are
you going to be this guy? Much.
Farnham unavailable today.
Of why haven't you had me on, guy?
I just said thank you. Can I get a thank you in here?
Yeah.
And I am no Sean Farnham. This is a fact. So thank you for having me. I deserve to be aligned for the... Mississippi State pick. I mentioned this on the show today.
I will deal with him later. He should not have said that.
That's all good.
He's trying to drive a wedge between us.
No, he will not.
No,
This is all about. We said this on the show earlier. This tournament humbles all of us every single year. But that game was another one that I realized within about 8 minutes I was on the wrong side. So let's just go on the other side. Like if we get the live bet at that point, it was like 4.5. Let's go hammer time the other way. Take your L. Walk away. I think I did it with like 3 minutes to go in the half. I'm like, this isn't really. It got to like 5, I think, at the break.
Yeah, and we tightened it up a little.
And I was like, they can't score. They're turning the ball over. It was heinous. And Michigan State took away. So we turned a loss into a win. We did it later with Gonzaga and McNeese State.
Oh, that was very good.
And then there was
a
third one yesterday where it was live bets. We're just willing to flip it around. So hey, that's okay. When your pre thing sucks, you can still fix it sometimes. Yeah. And don't mail it in.
The magic of live betting.
I love that. I love that mentality. And he's been great. He's been absolutely great on ESPN Bet this week, especially leading up to these games. He's Dallin Cuff, who's with us right now, ESPN college basketball analyst. What'd you take out of the Kentucky game last night? Is it time for a change with Cal?
Well, the funny thing is, before the year, Kentucky fans were clamoring for it already. But now his contract is prohibitive of this. It's one of those lifetime deals where it rolls over. And so I believe it's like when you're reading the reports out last night, like within 10 seconds of the game going final, it was like $33 million, $39 million, these buyout prices, which granted, Jumbo Fisher's making, what, $76 million? So there's nothing that's impossible in college sports. That's still a really high number for a college basketball program. That said, there is... I don't think it's necessarily it's time to part ways, but there's an understanding that this isn't just about freshmen. This team was flawed defensively, and now you can blame Cal because Golkey has taken 327 threes this year. He's taken 8 twos. Taken 8 twos. Once he makes 2 or 3, you know what? We're going full face guard. Makes 4 or 5, full face guard, which means you are not helping off him. You are not looking at anybody else. You are not doing anything different but staring at this guy and stopping him from touches and getting off threes. They didn't do that till like the 6 or 7 3. And then once they did it, you do have some freshmen that made some mistakes. Reed Shepard got caught on a screen. You can't have that happen. But that is a little bit of coaching. That's a little bit of freshmen. But this flawed team was flawed because of the defensive end all year long. They weren't committed mentally. They weren't committed physically to defending on that side and being as elite as they were in the offensive end. That's not just about freshmen. That's not just, I think that's a cop-out. And he was using that cop-out right after. He didn't do a great job preparing his team in-game, before-game. His team didn't execute. And Reed Shepard played the worst game of his career. That's what happened last night.
Oakland wins that game. Now they get 11 seed NC State.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched over the last 2 weeks as I have repeatedly bet against NC State and have them just shove it in my face, like repeatedly. What happens in this game? Because I can't, what do I do here? I take Oakland, I take NC State. It feels like no matter what, I'm going to be in trouble.
I think you are too. At this point, you jump and ship and go in NC State.
I can't go over when you get hit.
What I do know is like the 5.5-point line did seem a little bit high to me. Mm-hmm. I think it's a reaction to NC State playing in a high major conference and getting on a run has been very publicized. Oakland has one game. I do think this team they'll make shots. They're going to get some open looks. The biggest problem is how they guard DJ Burns. They have real no. Townsend's a good player, but you're going to need to double him at some point in time. They didn't last night till later in the game, and Texas Tech was already in deep trouble at that point. So I lean toward NC State. I'm interested to see if the line will move and in what direction, because the public now may be real on Oakland and they're getting some points. We always see these double digit seeds. They are, NC State is too. Get to the Sweet 16. We'll see how the line plays out, but my lean is to laying the points with the Wolfpack.
Golkey effect. Golkey effect.
Golkey effect may be a full point. Maybe it'll be 4.5 by tomorrow.
Yeah, that kid couldn't miss all of a sudden. He's taken 8 twos all season long?
Eight twos.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Dallin Cuff is with us, ESPN college basketball analyst. The A.J. Staten-McCray block. What'd you make of the call?
This is in the Kansas game, for those who might not be aware. Kansas-Sanford.
Kansas up a point. They had a jailbreak scenario in the press. Sanford's pressing, throw it over the top to Nick Timberlake. that is going to go down. I hope that's the worst call in the tournament, because when you watch that block, that was, I mean, we always talk about LeBron, the two-handed block on the backboard, you know, and there's 2016 final Iggy block. This would have been like that version in the college play. Like he comes from behind, blocks that shot, and they did recover the loose ball, and the ref blew a late whistle. That Sanford was going the other way. The Bulldogs were going the other way with the ball down a point. If that happens, I thought that game was over because Sanford, they do press, but they were carving it up and they were shooting 80% in the first half. They looked so comfortable, but they did wear on them. At altitude's a problem. And Sanford showed a ton of guts and a ton of talent to come back in that game. And Kansas showed their huge warts, their serious concerns with that team winning another game against Gonzaga. But they got bailed out. And Staten McCray should be lionized for that play and should have given his team a chance to win it. And the referees took it from him. I hope that is the worst call that we see throughout this tournament, because that was a bad one.
Before we let you get back to the grind, I know you like Northwestern. They're on right now. They're up 3. Anything else that stands out today? Anything Dallin Cuff loves?
Yeah, love New Mexico. I took it right when it came out at -1.5. It's now -2.5, 48 hours later or so, 72 hours later.
The Dallin Cuff effect.
Clearly, when I said that, that thing moves. I move markets.
Moving markets here.
I do like San Diego State -6.5. Mm. It's a little antithetical because they play slow. But not as slow as they were last year. I really think UAB is one of the more over-seeded 12s we've seen in a long time. That's partially because the bubble got compressed and they got in there when they really shouldn't have got in there. They're 12, but I don't think they're really 12 in terms of historical numbers. They really struggle to score in the interior. They struggle to guard the interior. Struggle to shoot the ball. And San Diego State will contest threes, but they're going to really guard their perimeter and their interior very well. On the other side, Jaden Lindy is a guy that can expose weaknesses on your interior, and I think Andy Kennedy has that and that his team. So I do like laying the 6.5 with San Diego State.
We're spitting in the face of my Colorado play. We don't want to jump on this train.
Because you know how big I'm on Florida, man.
I know. I loved them for a while.
I got a little sprinkle on 18-1 for them to win the region. Yeah. If they win this game.
One of us is going to be brilliant.
I know. Let's hope it's me so
One of us
bad.
Will be an idiot.
That's usually your role.
I play it on the show.
Let's keep you there. But I like that. I think it's going to be the most entertaining game of the day, though.
It's going to be a great
game. I think
that's
the best game of the day, potentially, when you look at it on paper. That Colorado team or Florida, I honestly think, could come out of that region. Could be in the Elite Eight playing Houston. Who knows?
All right.
Great stuff,
man. Good stuff.
Appreciate it.
Anytime, boys. Be well. Enjoy the rest of the games. And, Carlin, just so you know, it's 12-11. 23 is your total with 7 minutes to go. 23 points.
Even a rock fight looks at this and is like, man, this is a rock fight.
This makes Mississippi State and Michigan State yesterday look like a dream scenario.
What a shootout.
It's always good when I look up and guys are kicking the ball off their leg on a layup the way down the floor.
We should just blindly be betting unders.
My God.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Dallin Cuff, ESPN college basketball analyst. And don't forget the Dallin Cuff effect. When he speaks, you listen, as we have already seen. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Is another star wide receiver about to join the Miami Dolphins? That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NCAA Tournament Update.
All right, let's get you caught up. Joseph, we've got Florida Atlantic. We've got Northwestern. That game, about 5 and change left? First half, what do we got?
5:44 to go. Florida Atlantic 14, Northwestern 12. Now it's 16-12, Florida Atlantic. A good old-fashioned rock fight here to open the day, Mr. Carlin.
That was a great line. Even a rock fight looks at this and says, geez, God, that's a rock fight. And then we've got Colgate and Baylor ongoing right now, just underway moments ago.
13-6 Baylor. We're about 5 minutes in. Evan had a great Colgate joke. I'm going to ask him to crack the mic and share it with the audience.
Yeah, the problem if you bet on Colgate right now, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
There you go. K-Man was ready.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Last night, Marcel-Louis Jacques, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN NFL Nation, was hosting on game night. And he also, of course, hosts on ESPN Radio all the time, does a phenomenal job. And he was there to help confirm a story from Josina Anderson regarding the Dolphins and a particular free agent wide receiver.
Source tells me Odell Beckham Jr. visited the team today. They need that third receiver. They did re-sign Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft. But the number three receiver, the third leading receiver last year, had, I think it was 320 yards. You know, behind, obviously, you know, Hill and Waddle, there's a lot of targets being funneled there. But you need that third option. As they saw late in the season, when Hill was hurt, when Waddle was hurt, that offense stalled out. So you need somebody who's going to be able to keep the ship afloat. OBJ, he's not the same Odell Beckham Jr. from 2014, 15, whatever. He is still good enough to rack up 500 receiving yards in an offense that didn't throw a whole lot there in Baltimore. I think he would be a good addition. They're hoping to get a deal done. Nothing in writing, nothing signed today. But keep your eye out for that this weekend next week.
That's Jonathan Zaslow, noted Dolphin fan.
Easy Zaslow, I mean.
All right.
This is it. Oh, that
here we come
over the top.
Well, at any rate, it's an interesting thought. I understand where the Ravens were last year. I don't know that I'm as big of a believer in Odell anymore, but if you're talking about a third receiver, sure, why not? Joe, the bigger question, though, becomes around the Dolphins and what they have to do now when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa, because there's an awful lot of discussion about him getting a long-term contract extension this offseason. The Dolphins have called it a priority, which is funny, because if you ask anybody else in the NFL, it doesn't seem like it should be a priority for anyone.
I am not in any rush to give him a contract if I'm the Miami Dolphins. If I'm Miami, I'm thinking to myself, all right, we got him in the first round, which means we can exercise the fifth-year option. We have 5 years there, and then we have the franchise tag. And if he doesn't like it, so be it. That's what this situation is. You're just good enough to continue starting for us, not good enough to get the bag just yet. We'll give you a chance to prove yourself. I'm not going to talk necessarily about the injuries, which are a legitimate concern, but he's not a guy that steps up big in the big spots, at least as of yet. They have put everything around him. There is no reason for him to not be able to make plays in big games, and he doesn't make plays in big games. You can go to the wild card game in Kansas City where he did literally nothing in that game. That Miami offense was crap in that game. They couldn't do anything. And yeah, I know it was really cold and all that, fine. But last year, I believe they played 7 games against playoff teams, and they went 1-6. And if it wasn't 7, it was 6, and they went 1-5. I'm off by 1 at most, because I did these numbers a while ago when I went on this Tagovailoa rant. 1-6 against teams that went to the playoffs. His quarterback rating in those games was the exact same quarterback rating, almost, it was right there, that Kenny Pickett had for the season. Oh. So in big games against good teams, Tua Tagovailoa essentially turns into Kenny Pickett. I know the Dolphins love him, and I know they hype him up all the time, and I know that for a few minutes he was in the MVP race, so everyone talked about how can you not pay him? He was MVP candidate. No, he wasn't. The season ended, and he wasn't in the race for MVP. An MVP candidate is someone who's getting votes for MVP at the end of the year when the votes are being tallied, not in week 6 after you've had a good 5-week run to get started. So that's where I stand on this. I don't think they should give him the bag. If they do, I think it's going to be a huge mistake. I would play this out as far as I can before I'm forced to make a decision, and then I'm probably going in a different direction.
I'll tell you what, to your point, you look at those teams, those good teams, and what does he do? Late in the season, 2 interceptions against the Buffalo Bills. two interceptions against the Baltimore Ravens late in the year to the quarterback rating point.
And by the way, that Baltimore game, Baltimore had just played in San Francisco, won a huge game, and then came home to play Miami, ultimate flat spot game, and the Dolphins got 50 hung on them by Baltimore. Baltimore killed him in that game.
56-19. Joe, if the Miami Dolphins pay Tua Tagovailoa a contract extension this offseason, they will feel worse than the Giants do right now. And the Giants have a major regret in giving Daniel Jones his extension. And remember this, the Jones extension is one that you can get out of a year from now.
Yeah.
Tua's not signing that contract. Tua is expecting the legitimate contract, the 50-plus million a year, 4 to 5 year commitment type contract.
The Herbert. Why would you not want the Herbert money? Herbert hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Neither has Tua. They're from the same draft class. If I'm his agent, I'm looking for the Herbert deal.
Now, Joe, I know that we have seen teams like the Broncos take the massive cap hit and just move on from what they admit as a mistake. It still doesn't justify the idea that they didn't screw it up a few years earlier. And that's the same thing here with the Dolphins. Like, if you want to tell me, well, look, we've seen teams be able to get out of this if it turns out ugly. No. That kills that team for a couple of years. Absolutely kills them. The Dolphins cannot afford to put themselves in that spot.
They've put everything there that they've needed to put there to have success with him. He has been pretty good. He's been above average, but he is not in all the big games last year. He was nowhere to be found. Like I said, quarterback rating, Kenny Pickett. That's what he was in games against playoff teams last year.
One of the great stories of the college basketball season happened yesterday, and the head coach of that team is going to join us. What a win for Oakland. Greg Camp joins the show next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.